Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Not a Thing podcast number 102.
Yeah, it's going to be easier to keep track of the counting from now on,
Yeah.
as long as we pay attention.
Right. That's the most difficult part, really. I have to just kind of, keep looking at things, and that's not awful. It's just something I have to keep doing.
Yeah, you should keep looking at things.
Yeah, it's good. Now and again, especially if you're showing any kind of symptoms of Ebola.
You can't make me laugh about Ebola, Alan. That's not right.
We had kind of tabled Ebola as a topic last week. There was already some kind of bad stuff in the news, and it was not kind of
Yeah, the
wonderful, and
bad
it was,
stuff being Ebola.
like, it needs any more kind of
That
bad stuff
awesome
going
disease
on.
that makes you bleed out of everything.
So the only reason we're bringing it up this week is because there were two cases where Ebola was treated successfully in humans. I guess there was some crazy experimental treatment that they were playing around with that worked for some level of chimpanzee, I think. And seeing as chimpanzees and humans share some amount of DNA, they gave it a try on humans, despite it not going through all the FDA clinical trials and all that kind of jazz. And the two folks that contracted it appear to be okay. It was kind of a miraculous level cure. Like, within 24 hours, they were essentially fine. Which, is good. I mean, as long as there's no crazy unforeseen side effects, it's probably fine.
Yeah, that's definitely a good step. The scary thing is that they both contracted the disease while wearing full hazmat suits.
Yes. Yeah, that's a
So
little
that's not
disturbing.
good.
Yeah.
That's less than good.
Yeah. Well, hopfully, A, they work on hazmat suits a little bit more, and B, they figure out what makes that medicine work extra good, because we're probably going to need some more of that. It's not a good situation. Ebola is not one of your happy diseases.
No, I've seen the movie. I don't with Kevin Spacey. I don't need to get that.
Yeah, I think Ebola should probably not be a thing.
Also, giving a cure to not just Americans should probably be a thing.
Yeah, that is kind of one of the things that was noticed in the article. It was they only deployed the crazy experimental treatment onto Americans. Whereas there've been I don't know how many deaths. It's been over 400 now, something to that effect. So yeah, it's no one should get Ebola, let alone die from it. So let's figure that out, pharmaceutical
Yeah,
companies.
whatever we can do to make Ebola not a thing,
Yeah.
we pretty much support.
Well, it's I don't know. I don't have a good. This is bad.
You ended on such a strong note last week.
There was a the great that great transition. I don't even remember what the full like transition was. I mean, it was
See episode 101.
yes. There was a great one. I let's just say this one not so great, but somewhat great if you are into kind of personal property and stuff like that. The long and short of it is, your like cars nowadays, I guess, all have electronic locks. Like my car does, my wife's new car does. They're based around, there's like some kind of radio transmitter that's in the key fob, and that can be used to unlock the car in a, very easy way. And my car actually still has the physical key which can be used as a backup to open the doors, but is also used to start the car. But my wife's new GTI, there's no physical key at all. So the she essentially doesn't even have to take the key out of her pocket. If she walks up to the door, there's like a 5-foot bubble of influence that key has, and it will like essentially automatically unlock that door or the rear hatch or whatever. And the way that these all work is it's not as simple as radio waves, like a garage door opener is, for example, where it's just a single code. Although honestly, garage doors are even more complex than that. It's not like if you could somehow magically like capture the radio transmission that's made to open or close your garage door, if you just push that again, it wouldn't work. And that's because that's a known kind of vulnerability about the systems. You can just replay the sound or replay the radio wave. Well, there's that too with cars, but there's like this escalating arms race of hackers. So we will link the article, but essentially there are like a couple different modes for unlocking cars or interacting with things wirelessly. And it's, they're all based around kind of similar things. It's radio waves, like AM/FM kind of radio waves. It's radio waves via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or something to that effect. And then some amount of like kind of code synchronization to, put together a key or whatnot. But all of that is apparently defeatable if, given like a heavily motivated individual. And I thought it was a great article because it really went into how, like, if you wanted to, if someone wanted to, they could like essentially capture all the radio transmissions that come in and out of your car. And then once they figured that out, they could break into your car and spoof your key and all that kind of stuff. And, or you could break a window and then you have access to the car. I just feel like they might be over-engineering stealing cars than the way I understand it. But
well, I mean, I don't need to worry about that. That is the one advantage of having a piece of crap car. A, no one wants to steal it. B, there's no fancy radio-transmitted anything. So if you want your car to be safe from being stolen by any means, get a 1995 Mercury Mystique. They don't make them anymore. And there's probably a reason for that.
I just think it's really good because the thing that kept running through my head as I read this article was that, you know, wireless transmissions are bad. And that's pretty much what Battlestar Galactica came to say, I think. It's really... That's really the
main... Yeah, so my car is the Battlestar Galactica of cars. There's no networking.
That really is the big takeaway from that whole series.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah, my car.
Wireless bad.
The little girl still got some life in her.
Yeah. The fracking wireless. Well, speaking of wireless and unlocking, but maybe from a slightly different angle... is a new bill that was signed into law this week. So it passed both houses of Congress pretty handily. I think it may have passed the House of Representatives unanimously, which is really phenomenal.
That's got to be a first.
Yeah, right. But and then it was signed into law by President Obama that when your contract is up, or if you're switching carriers, you should have the right to unlock your own phone to have it work on another carrier's system because almost all of them now are on GSM again. There was kind of a flirtation with CDMA if you are a Verizon or Sprint customer. But for the most part, America has caught up with the rest of the world and is using kind of GSM technologies again. But what that means is that because all the different carriers are essentially all using the same technology. In theory, you could take your phone and go from one carrier to another, except in the United States, where corporations are people and all sorts of other bad stuff happen. Corporations have kind of that control over those devices, despite you, quote unquote, owning them. And this is where it gets into that kind of weird personal property angle. It's like, if I've bought it, I should have the right to do kind of what I want with it, versus that, you know, terms and conditions like blurb, which we've previously established on the show, is pretty much not a thing, just because
You're buying an Apple product.
Every iTunes update, I have to accept that license. Every iTunes update.
If I just don't update iTunes until it stops working, and then I have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a step in the right direction. This is saying that mobile phone carriers essentially have less rights about the phones that they sell, and they do sell them. I mean, in the United States, one of the reasons that you can get an iPhone for under, you know, $500 is because they're carrier subsidized, and if they're unlocked, then they're not carrier subsidized, which means you would pay full price, which is why, like, the unlocked iPhone is like $600 or some amazing number like that. But I think
it's a pretty impressive machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it.
It is.
It's kind of worth that money.
Well, I mean, now it's especially worth that money if you can unlock it, and then it's your technology to kind of do stuff with. Now, all they have to do is figure out the jailbreaking angle on this, and a lot more things will make more sense. But yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. Property that you purchase should be yours to do what you want with. And hopefully that's still a thing, and this law kind of is a step in the right direction.
I'd like to see whoever in Congress voted against this, how they explain that to their constituents. Who's going to be that guy?
It's is it taking jobs away? No. It's really just making sure everyone gets paid in the kind of wireless provider space, which
it'd just be actual physical proof that you're a corporate stooge. 'Cause, I mean, they all are, but this would be proof. You have on record, I am a corporate stooge.
Yeah, write your congressman. Let's bring that back.
Write your congressman and tell him, you know, just because corporations can be people now or have the rights of people also means they can be assholes. And most of them are.
Yeah, well, if you're out and about and dealing with assholes, there's apparently a new service for you, which I have not... I saw the blurb for, and it didn't register to me what the name of the group was. The blurb was like, it's Uber for personal security. So I was like, oh, okay, so you could, like, you know, call a security guard if you needed it for whatever reason. I mean, I was trying to figure out, like, what the kind of situation is, because the website is actually fairly vague about it, but I think just based on the name alone, it's amazing. Did you catch the name of the outfit?
Bannerman?
Yeah.
You rally your bannerman, call in your banners?
Right. All right. They're cashing in on a little Game of Thrones action, possibly, but I think it's a really interesting kind of setup. So essentially, that company retains a bunch of folks with their security guard credentials. So they have some amount of training for... I actually don't know. I mean, I don't know what it takes to get your security guard credentials. Guard? Yeah, as far as I know, it's more of a kind of, you have to understand property law and then intervention in crimes, because there's a really fine line between like what you can do as a private citizen and what you can do as a non, you know, as a you know, as a like fully fledged like person of the law. Like there's a lot of kind of, you really can't do that kind of thing. So it's getting that card credential probably has a lot to do with knowing what's right and wrong, or not necessarily what's right and wrong, but what you're able to do within the law, so you don't find yourself on the wrong side of a wrongful imprisonment suit or something like that. But anyway, it also makes it look like they're kind of private security ish people. So this is the
personal Blackwater.
The sponsors are not sponsors, but the people that gave kind of testimonials or say that they work with them were, there was like Apartment List and I can't remember the other companies in there, but it seemed like places or companies where like you're maybe there's something about like traveling from one place to another with large sums of money or something like that. And so it's a way to kind of have a buddy for that kind of thing. And I don't know, it doesn't say like to what extent they are going to kind of help you in this kind of way. I assume that's negotiated maybe even in the moment.
Yeah, is there like a platinum package for, okay, you're going to take a bullet for me, or I'm going to tip you extra to kick the crap out of that guy?
Yeah, it does seem to have a lot of, or to miss a lot of those kind of nuances. So it's hard to tell like how much the security guard will actually do for you. I mean, is this as simple as having someone walk you back to your car at the end of the day, or is this, they are gonna like jump in front of like a situation for you? And it doesn't, I don't know, it's very unclear. I think it's interesting. I think it's a neat kind of idea. I wish it had a little more detail about how it kind of would break out, but
maybe we'll have to do an experiment for the podcast.
I'm not 100%
like,
sure.
Do they provide their own clothes? Like they have, you know, where their black clothes security guy outfit, or can you have like, I want a Roman centurion guarding me while I'm at the club. It's like, here's your broadsword and your sandals.
That would be a very interesting way to put that together, because it does look like you reserve them online and everything. I mean, I didn't look to see if they had an app yet, but I mean, the website looked legit. So it's hard to tell if it's really just kind of there to pique people's interest, or if it's actually live.
I mean, this shows you how popular Game of Thrones is. Going out tonight, better raise the banners.
I'm not sure I would actually use that for...
No! Like... No, you wouldn't! You're not a crazy person!
I also, thankfully, don't find myself in a lot of personal security kinds of issue situations.
So. You know who doesn't need personal security? People who aren't assholes. You know who needs security? Corporations. They have security.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it does sound like a kind of budget Blackwater.
Wasn't that a like an Owen Wilson movie where a kid hires him as like personal protection or something, or to fight a bully or something like that?
This does sound...
Some kid's going to steal his dad's credit card and go hire a bannerman to the school and beat up somebody.
This does sound somewhat familiar, and it does sound like an after-school special waiting to happen. But I don't know. Like I said, I think there's potentially some merit in there. It's not exactly a Soldier of Fortune. It's like Soldier of Fortune cookie, but we'll see what comes out of it. It sounds like an interesting idea anyway.
It's weird. The guy in the picture of on the main page looks kind of like my cousin if he took a lot of steroids.
Okay. Well, you know, if you
want to be... And was more chin than man.
If you want to be protected by potentially Brendan's cousin, it's something to check out. Would you say that your cousin would make a good bannerman?
No, I mean, he's a good person to have around, you know, but not a physically intimidating presence.
So maybe not one of these guys. But well, you know.
Yeah, maybe save your money on a bannerman and get a gym membership. Or a gun. I bet you it's cheaper to buy a gun. Or a stun gun if you don't want to get a real one.
Yeah, well, you know, you may also not want to get arrested in California.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, whatever. And in any case, I mean,
you think you could give him just like any weapon and be like, all right, here's your long staff. How are your archery skills? Yeah,
I'm more of a rope dart person, you know? And not like the rope, like actually with the chain on it, kind of like, what was that? Was it Ninja Warrior? Was that the name of that movie? Ninja Assassin.
Ninja Assassin.
That was the chain with the hook on one end. That was...
The rope darts like in Assassin's Creed?
Well, similar to that. Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff.
We should totally rent somebody. Let's rent a human. Did I just make that statement? I take that back. I'm not going to rent a human.
We have to have an event in order to like justify renting.
We'll have to organize a podcast meetup. And then, you know, to keep the fans at a reasonable distance, we'll have to have some bannermen.
Right.
VIP set up. Do they bring their own rope to set up a VIP section?
I hope that the sunglasses and too tight shirts are not extra.
No, I'll provide my own.
Yeah, that would be really hilarious, right? Invite a bunch of people to see us and then pay some folks to keep them away from us.
The other great thing is on the main page, they've got pictures of two guards, and one of them has 5 stars, and one of them has 4.9 stars. You couldn't find 2 5-stars?
What is the review?
They look like firefighters.
What is the review that made that guy 4.9?
I don't know. Well, he doesn't have a mustache. The 5-star has a mustache.
Well, I think there you go. I mean, you know. If Axe Cop has taught us anything, you need a mustache.
Axe Cop has taught me everything.
Oh, well, moving over to kind of the an interesting website with guys with mustaches to an interesting website with
and girls with mustaches.
With mustaches. OkCupid renewed their blog. I guess if you're familiar with OkCupid from a while ago, this was, I think, before they were purchased or merged with Match.com. They used to have a blog that was written by like one of the founders or something like that. And he was very candid about why you should not pay for a dating website. Now, it's ironic because they're owned by Match.com, which is a paid website, and they have all sorts of paid features for OkCupid. But one of the nicer things they did on their blog was that they had access to tons and tons of data about dating. Because they're a free website and they really kind of push that, they had a really wide range of folks and a really wide range of data about those folks, because it's all kind of self-select how much you want to fill out and everything. And so they would occasionally post things that were just kind of fun statistical correlations, and they were always correlations, because it's really just, you know, piles and piles of data when you pull it all together. But I thought it was nice that they would post those every once in a while. And then when they were bought by Match.com, like, all of those posts were, like, relegated to a different spot, and they were hard to get to. But the blog came back today, or this week, kind of in a very controversial way. So much like a while ago, Facebook saying that they experimented on folks by messing with the visibility of posts, OkCupid has pretty much come out and said that they were also doing experiments with people, but they were doing things like showing matches to you even though they weren't like a good match numerically, or hiding or otherwise, like, kind of, yeah, hiding pictures from profiles or parts of profiles for people that supposedly match, to show if seeing a picture or not would affect how likely you were to click on someone. And yeah, just kind of a bunch of extra experiments around people. And there's a couple interesting kind of things about that. A, they're experimenting on people and are being very upfront about it, whereas I feel like Facebook bore a lot of brunt for trying to be scholarly and say that, you know, they were doing this to assess mood and how that affects and, you know, public perception of mood. Whereas this is, I mean, they're a dating website, and they're like, yeah, we were messing around to see if we could be a better dating website, in theory, is their rationale. And I kind of get that they're that's probably what they're doing. I mean, they're not making any money by essentially putting people on bad dates. So, you know, it's hard to tell, like, what the rationale is, unless they were actually trying to refine their algorithms for connecting to people and not.
And, well, that at least makes some more sense than what Facebook was doing, just trying to bum people out.
Yeah.
Down can we push them?
Right. I mean, I think it also is different because Facebook is like the happy, safe internet. It's all supposed to be people you know. It's all supposed to be stuff you're already interested in. And so if you're around people that are going to bum you out, then they're going to bum you out whether Facebook was helping them bum you out or not.
Yeah, if you want to get bummed out, you go to 4chan or something.
You browse Reddit at the all level, you know. But OkCupid, you're self-selecting to kind of be at a, in a kind of meat market situation. It's really not a what I would call a you know, like Facebook, I just called it like kind of a internet safe space. OkCupid is really not that. You're going to be exposed to whatever is out in the world that could potentially be interested in you, which might be not interesting to you. So I think anything to make that process easier is probably a good idea, now that I guess everyone is dating like that these days. I don't know. I haven't had to date in quite a while. It's actually nice.
Yeah, you were dating practically pre-internet. Not like DARPA internet, but, you know, like YouTube, Facebook internet.
Right, right. DARPA internet. Right. I met my wife without the use of a acoustic coupler on my telephone. Oh, but yeah, I think I don't know. What do you think? Did you read the article? Did you see, like, to what extent they're mussing with, like, people's perceptions of each other?
I feel like the whole online dating system is people messing with perceptions of each other. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I think it's bold of them to admit they're doing more than just collecting data. But even then,
which they should be. I mean, they should be refining how they make that work.
Right. Right. I mean, that's the big thing, is that that's how doing anything kind of social over the internet works. I mean, there's no we've discussed it in the past that there's like no way that you could take in all of the data that is the internet. I mean, even if you limit it to the folks you care about, if it's in Facebook or whatever, unless you have a very, very small set of folks, that kind of list of posts and engagement is too long to kind of keep up with. So there is going to be always some amount of algorithmic filtering. And the theory is that all of that filtering is good for you. I think the reality of it is it's probably not good for you personally. It's probably a side effect that it's good for you. It's probably good for whatever metric they're using to do engagements and ad revenue. but let's not be too cynical about it. I think the experiments probably will continue and probably should continue. I think it's really just incumbent upon everyone to realize that if it's a free website, your information is the thing that they're selling.
Eventually. And that love can be boiled down to ones and zeros.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
I'm not a robot.
Let's not go with that. Let's not go with that. I think they're probably
that's not a thing.
Yeah, there probably is something to their matching algorithm or any matching algorithm. But let's not make that the entirety of our relationship basis.
No, I mean, and that's not the point of the site. I mean, it's a starting off point to actually meet somebody in person.
Whoa.
Because people still interact in person because we're people. And people are persons. Yeah, like that English.
Too awesome. Well, also in the awesome category is something that I can't remember if I talked about it last week or if we... this was just in the pre-show banter.
No, it was a pre-show.
Okay, well, in the pre-show banter...
It's all part of the show!
We talked a little bit about one of our first topics on the show, which was Bitcoins. And I had been looking into it, and apparently it's not terribly difficult to mine Bitcoins. And by mining them, it's really just the math and computation involved in, because Bitcoin, like a lot of kind of cryptography-based currencies, are based on the idea of a blockchain, which is a chain of transactions, all the transactions that have ever happened in the system, and you're supposed to, using the system, kind of distributedly keep track of all of these things. That way there's not one central, like, node that can, you know, muck with the system in theory. But by distributing the proof of how transactions are approved, it makes the system secure. And so I looked into Bitcoin mining just kind of on a whim, and it's, I wouldn't say profitable, but I mean, it's, you are making a non-zero amount of money. It just takes a very long time. So the current setup I have a Raspberry Pi driving a 5-port hub with USB based Bitcoin miners. So it's a USB based set of like processors that are optimized for doing the transactions for verifying or mining for Bitcoins. And so I plugged five of those into a hub and plugged that into a Raspberry Pi, and I've had it running for almost, let's see, almost 9 hours now. And at my current hash rate, I am going to make, I think it ends up being like 8 cents a day.
And how much did the Raspberry Pi and the Bitminers cost?
let's just call those a sunk cost.
Yeah, no, they're sunk. That's for sure.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a very profitable kind of arrangement. I think the current difficulty level, which I have not tweaked at all, I apparently can overclock all manner of things and get a little more performance out of it. But at the current rate, it makes something like $60 a year.
Okay.
So I can probably pay for the hardware after like 2 years.
And then it's all profit.
It's pure profit at that point, except for the fact that
if you could get one of those in a time machine, you could go back to when that amount of money would be something, and you'd be living large.
Yeah, Bitcoin mining, like you might guess, is not super profitable unless you have a lot of dedicated hardware, and to get said dedicated hardware costs money. So I don't know exactly how money is made during this process, but
this really is the gold rush of our time. Trekking out to the Yukon.
Yeah.
Seeking your fortune.
I did learn a couple things about bitcoins. Like the way Bitcoin pools work, where they're mining for these coins and verifying transactions, etc. They're usually based on a kind of an honor system for joining it. So there's not a whole lot of friction to join the site, and that's what they want because they really want your computational power. But there's kind of a cap, or not a cap, is a floor that you have to meet before you can get a payout, and the payout is something like $25 worth of Bitcoin mining. And as I was discussing with the way my kind of equipment breaks out, it would cost like 6 months of mining in order to get to that point. So it's not profitable. I mean, you definitely would learn a bit about how cryptocurrencies work and like what's involved and stuff like that if you were to take on the project. I mean, I think it's an interesting project, and because I've already put it in motion, I might as well let it run as long as it will. But
why not?
Yeah. After like 3 months, I can pay for 1 month of hosting for the podcast.
Woohoo!
still in the red over here. So if you would like to sponsor the Not a Thing podcast, please let us know. we're still looking for sponsors. We have said it in the past, and we'll say it again. We'll say pretty much whatever you want because we are in dire need of sponsors.
Well, hashtag not dire, flat Earth.
Not dire need.
It's not dire.
No, no one's gonna die over not having this podcast. But at the same time, it is a really cool podcast, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, maybe we can get Marvel to sponsor us.
That would be epic because they have probably too much money now after this weekend's opening of Guardians of the Galaxy, which I saw on Saturday. When did you catch it?
I saw it Friday night.
Very nice. Very nice. So we are entering spoiler land, a wonderful land which we've actually not entered that much recently.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy, you should probably turn this off and go see Guardians of the Galaxy right now. There's a million showings. It's on every screen.
2D, 3D, awesome. 2D and D-Box, 3D and D-Box.
Now, did you see 2D or 3D?
I saw it in 2D. It's not filmed in 3D, so I'm not going to see it in 3D.
Yep, same.
The I did notice that they had it in 2D and D-Box at the Camera 12 in downtown San Jose, and I'm sorely tempted to watch it again as a D-Box film.
Hmm. Well, you'll have to let me know, because I'll have to hit up the D-Box we have up here.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure how well it'll work. I mean, we initially had surmised that the reason we loved it so much for Fast and the Furious was because...
Cars.
It works well with a car movie. But we also watched Need for Speed in D-Box, and I feel like that was a little lacking. So
that's because Need for Speed was a little lacking compared to the Fast and Furious.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I think even without the D-Box or 3D, Guardians of the Galaxy was a great, great movie. Just nicely put together, nicely kind of cordoned off from the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and yet still linked. If you're really crazy about it, you can find that link. But otherwise, I thought it stood alone really, really well. I mean, it did not feel the way the Captain America movie or the Thor movie did, where it's like clearly a setup for a sequel. I mean, I understand they're gonna make a second one because
it's made a ton of money.
Yeah, but it didn't have that feeling like it was baked in, like they were deliberately holding back in order to prime people to watch the sequel.
Yeah, I talked about being excited about it on the 100th episode. And I actually went, before we recorded the 100th episode, I went back and listened to our 50th episode, which was our 1 year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And I was talking about it back then, about how that was the movie I was looking forward to. We get to the 100th episode, that's still the movie I'm looking forward to, and it met or surpassed all of my expectations.
Nice. Yeah, I was very happy with quite a lot of it. I think there is some kind of stuff about the movie that that is not like beautiful, but it's still good. It's still good.
What's your beef?
I think the kind of climactic battle when they decide, okay, well, here's the plan to fight the bad guy and blow up like all sorts of stuff. I feel like that was actually less interesting to me than all the stuff leading up to it.
I don't know. I thought the whole NovaCore ship net thing was pretty sweet.
Oh, no, that was sweet. That was sweet. I think.
And how many movies end with a dance off in the final battle? That right there. Give him his Oscar. Chris Pratt is on fire.
Yeah.
He was in Lego Movie, which was great. He was amazing in this. And he's going to be in the new Jurassic Park movie next year.
Huh. What are they making a new Jurassic Park movie with?
Cameras.
I mean...
CGI.
Well, yes. Yes. Okay, good point. I'm just wondering where are they going to go?
Well, it's called Jurassic World, so I'm guessing the world. No, from what I think I read that they're going to actually be in a functional park, like one that actually is running. Not, hey, we're going to open next weekend. Oh, we broke everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty awful, actually. As a park preview weekend goes, that's not the way you want those to go.
No. But enough about that. That's for next year. Guardians of the Galaxy. Rocket Raccoon, awesome.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper was very funny.
Yeah, he and Groot, I mean, stole pretty much every scene they were in.
Oh, yeah. Groot was great. and I just love that they have Vin Diesel, who's this big movie star dude who could totally be a comic book character-looking person. And they put him as a completely CGI tree who says three words.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Even Dave Bautista, he was good. He was funny.
Yeah, I think that is the thing that is also was also great. It was genuinely funny, and I felt like the jokes were kind of well placed and were never there kind of to go along with an effect or anything like that. It was like, let's just write some jokes, and then the kind of stuff that happens was kind of in service of those jokes, which
is the funniest movie I've seen this year.
Wow.
There's a lot of comedy packed in there. What other Marvel movie are you going to talk about? Kevin Bacon and Footloose.
Yeah, it was a pretty reference happy movie. So you'd have to know a little bit about there's some need to know like 80s culture, because there were definitely some riffs on that. And then musically, I mean, I don't know how
the soundtrack was great.
Yeah, the soundtrack clearances for this must have been epic. But yeah, that was really fun. It was just a really good movie. The bad guy, I don't know. I think they may have wasted it a little bit. But
he felt very, I don't know. He looked like the character.
Yeah, I think it's,
he was, you know, just menacing.
Right. I just think it was funny because I didn't recognize it until I saw. I mean, how could you, right? He's completely covered in makeup, but it's Lee Pace, the guy from Pushing Daisies.
The sweet pie maker,
right?
Was Ronan the Accuser, intergalactic a-hole.
And I'm so he, I feel like he could have had a little more in it. And the same with Karen Gillan. I mean, she didn't seem
underused.
Yeah. She was good though. I liked the kind of petulant other sister kind of action was going on. So that was good.
I think Zoe Saldana is now officially the sci-fi actress.
Yeah.
Between this, Star Trek, and Avatar,
she's
made a lot of sci-fi money. And she's good. So that's fine.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was any kind of weak spot in the cast. I think there might have been a little too much like exposition in parts, in between things, like the collector.
maybe Benicio del Toro.
He might have been a little too much, and same with the guy who was trading everything. The buyer.
That guy
with the eyebrows.
Yeah, the like Twofer Howitt knockoff.
Yeah. But I did like
Rooker.
Blue Michael Rooker.
Rooker.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yondu. So good. He steals everything he's in. Michael Rooker is amazing. That arrow just killing everybody.
Right. You wanted to see that get deployed because they kept teasing it, and it's like, you can do some stuff with that and it's fancy, but let's actually see him light it off, and that was great.
They even got me at the heartstrings when they killed Peter Serafinowicz, the Nova Corps guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's in, like, 2 minutes of the movie, and when he died, I was like, no! Because right at that part, Rogan's like, oh, we'll come help you, and then he's dead.
Yeah.
And they're all dead.
Yeah, that was actually a really good sequence. I did like the net of ships. That was good. I feel like they probably could have used a better intercept plan. but what you gonna do, right? I mean, you know, that's when you have interstellar travel, you don't have a lot of options.
I did like Rocket's penchant for taking people's artificial limbs.
Yeah.
It's like, and we need that guy's leg.
No, there was a lot of there was a lot of good comedy. There was a lot of good action. I think the there's something about the way the movie was paced up to the point where they're attacking the last ship that I really liked the pace of it, at least up to that point. Because it was very much grounded in each of the characters. So everyone had their own kind of arc to get to this point, and I thought that was executed really well, because it could have been very easily like, you know, this guy wants to kill Ronan, and this person's like, I don't know. It was
well balanced.
Yeah, they could have made it a lot more comedy of errors that they were together, and I think they struck the tone just right. Like, it obviously was kind of, you know, they're not supposed to be like a team, but in some way it works, and that was, I thought, something that came across really well.
And James Gunn just did a great job directing the movie and writing it. It was him and the first female writer on a Marvel movie, Nicole Perlman.
Yay.
I think that helped balance things out a bit.
Yeah. Oh, did I notice if they passed the Bechdel test or not?
Yeah.
I'm sure they did.
With Nebula and Gamora.
Yeah.
Yeah. It passed.
Yeah, okay. We'll go with that.
And of course they've got the Howard the Duck at the end. Maybe one of the, I mean, the end credit scene really did nothing other than, hey, we got the rights to Howard the Duck.
Yeah, right. I thought that was great because we watched it and a bunch of people around us are like, what? Yeah. Well, you know, Marvel, that was a Marvel comic, if I'm remembering right.
Well, it was a Marvel comic, and then they got sued by Disney for, copyright infringement on Donald.
Yeah.
And so they had this crazy contract where, like, Disney was super involved with anything that could be done with Howard the Duck, and they got, like, final say on what he could look like and the things he could do, even though it wasn't their property.
Yeah.
And now that Marvel owns, or Disney owns Marvel, now they can pretty much do what they want.
Not only that, Disney earlier, like a couple of years ago, bought Lucasfilm. And
right.
That's who owned the movie rights anyway. When so Disney pretty much, you know, won.
Yeah.
So yeah, Disney, still a thing.
Yeah, they're just, I've only seen it once so far. I'm going to see it at least once more, probably twice, in the theater.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, I think my previous fun movie of the summer, I think it was Godzilla.
Godzilla was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I liked X-Men a lot, but I think Godzilla was more kind of just silly funny for me. Not silly funny, just like...
I think this movie had the least flaws, because as fun as Godzilla was, the acting was... Cranston aside was... or Ken Watanabe aside, pretty garbage.
Yeah.
It was very Mannequin Skywalker.
I did like the... how, even with an ensemble cast, they were able to give everyone, like, their own beats for...
No one got shortchanged.
Yeah. Good old John C. Reilly. You can't like not like him in movies. He's great.
No, I mean, you know, it's a good movie when you step out of it and you're like, all right, not only do I want to see this again, I want to see the next one immediately. Although we'll have to wait, you know, 3 years for them to make it.
Right.
It takes time to make a movie, especially if you want to do it right.
Yeah, I don't even need it like super tied back to the rest of the Marvel universe right away either.
Well, when we get the payoff of the Avengers teaming up with the Guardians of the Galaxy, that's gonna explode my brain. I'm pretty sure that's gonna be nuts.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So if you have money for only one movie this week, go see Guardians of the Galaxy. Do not see Brett Ratner's piece of shit Hercules. Not even The Rock could save that movie.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was so bad.
It didn't look wonderful. So what, because I know that they did, didn't they do a Hercules movie not that long ago?
There were two that came out this year.
Yeah, and
one of them was one of the Twilight guys, I think.
Yeah, and they made
this one was The Rock.
They made it not like he's not like descended from gods. He's a gladiator, which doesn't really work because
yeah, it's called Spartacus.
Yeah. Anyway, but what is the Hercules in this new one like descended from gods?
He is. I mean, I don't give a shit about spoiling this movie. They try and play it off like he's not, like he's conning everybody, but then in the end, he really is.
Of course.
So he's got a whole team of assistants. All it made me want to do is watch the Kevin Sorbo TV show. And that was terrible.
Yeah.
And awesome.
That's surprising because I don't think I wanted to watch those when I watched those.
Yeah, I watched way more of those than I wanted to. But oh, it was so bad. I hate Brett Ratner so much. He's the, like budget Michael Bay.
were all the good action sequences in that trailer?
Yeah. The only redeeming scene, which did not redeem the movie at all, was when he says, "I am Hercules," which they showed in the trailer. That was the only good part.
Oh, well.
Oh, so bad.
Well, you know.
John Hurt was in it.
Oh, no.
He couldn't save it. Ian McShane was in it. He couldn't save it. Rufus Sewell was in it. He couldn't save it.
Wow.
No, it was so bad. There are only three of us in the theater. It was me, Skylar, and Garen. So we were just talking shit the whole time.
That actually would probably have helped that movie.
Yeah, the only way you would possibly enjoy that movie is to watch it with the three of us.
That sounds like a thing. That may have to be a thing.
At one point, I think, I can't remember if it was Garen or Skylar said, the CGI, I think it was Garen, said the CGI in this is as good as Lord of the Rings. And I said, yeah, that movie came out like 15 years ago. Save your money.
Yeah.
Go see Guardians three times.
Right on. Well, I will do my best to kind of get in on that before next week. I don't think there are any other movies that I want to see coming out really, really, really soon. But I'll keep an eye out. There is the possibility that I will be recording next week from wonderful, picturesque, and it's actually picturesque, Colorado.
No, it's way better than Florida.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm traveling for work again, but we'll see. We'll see what I can do. We may even have a guest. I'll do my best. But in any case, I will talk to you next week, Brandon.
Till next time, Alan.